37. My girlfriend sucked 37 dicks.
In a row?
Novastream.com.au and The Pop Culturist presents In A Row, an eight-week spotlight on one of the kings of indie film, Kevin Smith, starting from 1994's Clerks, 2014's Tusk, along with a glimpse into his future projects. I'm your host, I'm Ryan, and with me I have, from Novastream, Alistair.
Hi.
And Dylan.
Hello, hello, hello.
Sorry about the echo, just had a little technical difficulties we can't seem to avoid. This week we take a look into what I've referred to as edit point, because I forgot where I wrote it. So we head into this week's category, so much praise and so many death threats with Chasing Amy and Dogma. All right, so first things first, Chasing Amy came out in the year, I believe it was 1997, and stars Joey Lauren Adams, Ben Affleck, and I forgot his name, Jason Lee. It's the story of Banky and Holden, two lifelong friends who make a comic book together, and then they sort of, things change when Holden becomes in love with a woman he's just met, who turns out to be a lesbian. Goes from there on. It's interesting. It's a very big difference from Mallrats. Coming from the box office flop that was Mallrats, there wasn't a lot of hope for Kevin Smith into what he was going to end up doing. He had intended on doing Dogma at this point, but he ended up penning Chasing Amy instead. This film was made for a grand budget of $250,000, a massive step down from the $3 million budget that was Mallrats. This is probably, without a doubt, one of his most personal films to date, but I'd like to hear what you guys have to say. Dylan?
Yeah, it definitely does show that it's a more indie movie than Mallrats was, and it kind of feels like the natural progression of Clerks to Chasing Amy, and then Mallrats would be something you'd go up to with a bigger budget. Visually, it's very indie. It looks very washed out and poorly lighted, and it just has this real indie feel to it. But it looks like something he wanted to tell, something he had to say, and that was the only way to do it, to kind of do it on a lower budget.
Well, the conversation was with Harvey Weinstein. Kevin Smith approached him and was like, "Hey, I want to make Chasing Amy." They're like, "Well, how much do you want? Because Mallrats was a flop. We're not really willing to put a ton of money." And he's like, "What about $250,000?" And he's like, "All right." Went back to his producer Scott Mosier and was like, "Are you kidding? No one can do that." So that's why it feels super indie, because they were super restricted.
And it's a good movie. It's like you said, more personal. Ben Affleck's great in it. Joey Lauren Adams, I think, was dating Kevin Smith at the time.
She was.
And people that I watch it with are like, "I can't stand watching this movie anymore. Her voice is just grating on me." But I like her, and there are times when they get into arguments and their voices are really high-pitched and you can't understand what they're saying. But I was surprised by how much the comic book culture featured in the movie. Like, I remember, of course, the famous Holy Trinity speech. That was really good. And, like, them talking about Betty and Veronica and Archie. It's set in, like, this Comic-Con style beginning and ending. The comic book Blunt Man and Chronic. There's so many references in it that I didn't get at the time. And now, years later, when pop culture is huge, it was fun to go back and revisit that. It's a good movie. I liked it, but it's a weird thing. It is an indie movie. It doesn't feel like a Hollywood movie. It doesn't even feel like a standard romantic comedy. It was something unique at the time, and it's not something that's explored. And I think towards the end, when Ben Affleck kind of steps too far, and then he decides the only way to kind of resolve it is for them all to get together, just came out of nowhere. And I don't know whether it was portrayed as supposed to be a bad idea by him, And just him kind of throwing Banky in there and being like, you know, I want you to be a part of it too. And he was like, oh, thank Christ it didn't happen. It just seemed odd because I couldn't read whether Banky did have that kind of latent homosexuality or that closet homosexuality or whether it was something put upon him. And it kind of got really weird at the end, and I still don't quite get it. But, yeah.
All right. So how about you, Alistair?
I had a problem looking past. It felt really dated.
It does look
really dated, and I don't think it translates well if you try and watch it now for the first time.
Because
I really had a hard time getting past that. But story-wise, I did like the fact that what I thought was going to be a romantic comedy, inverted commas, was kind of, as Dylan said before, like there's a lot of comic book culture in this movie, which I liked. I didn't like Ben Affleck in this. He kind of irritated me, and I wish that he wasn't in this movie. Same with Joey Lauren Adams. I'm not a fan. So they, for me, were kind of flat. But I did actually like Jason Lee in this. And I'm not a Jason Lee fan. I find his brand of comedy just not that great. But I really liked him in this. And he's probably the one thing that got me through it.
Okay.
And I don't know how much more do you want me to say.
just expand as much as you want, I guess. You don't want to go any further.
I wish I'd seen it when it came out. Because I think then I probably would have loved it. I think it would have been groundbreaking for its time in terms of themes. But now it just feels a little, I don't know.
Yeah. No,
does that make sense?
It does. It makes 100% sense. For me, sorry, keep going.
That's okay.
That's right, go for it.
I did really like Jay and Silent Bob's little speech.
Yeah, so like, yeah, that's something with this film in particular is like people, you know, sort of like, do these guys really fit in this movie? Seeing as you know what we've seen them in Clerks and Mallrats at this point, and they addressed the thing in more like from Mallrats, like that's not, we don't run around doing slapstick shit. What the hell? I thought that was really kind of good to sort of give them a bit more character.
I thought they were really funny, and they're probably the only thing that made this really funny.
Okay. But yeah. For me, I saw this movie later down the line. I don't know, it spoke to me in quite a number of different ways. I think this is sort of what makes me such a Kevin Smith fan, is I find a lot of the messages he puts and in his storytelling, they speak to me in such a very specific way. Like the first, you know, first act and a half sort of this film is just literally about two guys. It's sort of like essentially a bromance, I guess. You know, and then later on, he finds a girl he gets really into, and then it, you know, obviously, you know, gets that really emotionally invested in her as well. And then he has to sort of do that thing, like, do you make that jump from friends to more? Like, what's the result? Like, that speech in that car. Like, that's the speech that I've probably wanted to say more at times in my life than I'd probably be willing to admit.
In the rain, that scene?
In the rain, yeah, when they're sitting in the car and he pulls up and he's like, bleh. And I think that it's so wonderfully written because it's something we've all thought at some point. And so that spoke to me. Like, honest truth, there was a girl that I was sort of interested at the time, and we were getting along really, really fine. And I was like, hey, let's watch this film. And we ended up watching Chasing Amy. And
she's a lesbian.
No, not at all.
Damn. That would have been really good.
It would have been awesome. No, because like, to me, because these movies mean so much to me, watching, and like, if you know, if you were to understand what I was trying to pitch at when like, hey, watch this movie. And at the end, she's like, I didn't like it. I thought it was dumb. I didn't get any of it. I was like, nah, done. Bye. I know, just because I was like, look, I'm putting my heart and soul. I can't physically say the words, but this movie can, you know. And didn't even notice it. So no. There's a couple little things that just sort of I loved. I love the character of Hooper X. I thought he was a really, really cool contribution. I love, yeah, the start of the film where he's sort of having that speech, you know, and then it becomes into this rip on Star Wars, and then he yells Black Rage and shoots a gun. I loved it. Love that scene. I think this movie is really, really strong. I think one of the final lines in the movie is, you know, when Ben Affleck's Holden's talking to blanked out my name completely. When he's talking to Joey Lauren Adams' character, and she's, you know, like, why'd you write this? And he's like, because I finally had something personal to say. And I think that's sort of that movie in a whole. And yeah, the entire movie in one sentence is, I finally had something personal to say.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
But yeah, that's how I approach it. Yeah, I think it's really sort of started what become the bromance films, I guess. Because there is, in those sort of bromance pictures, a lot of sort of Judd Apatow-y sort of things. There is always that, like, fine line between two dudes being such close friends that are they just really good friends, or there is sort of that latent homosexual vibe that you sort of get from, you know, like Jason Lee's character. But no, they're just two dudes that are emotionally invested. They, like, love each other, but not in that way. I think it's a great film. But when they made Chasing Amy, what they were originally going to make was Dogma. But once again, due to the budget and due to what the scope of that film was to become, they pushed it back and they did Chasing Amy instead. But Dogma is essentially a film starring quite a substantial cast. There was Ben Affleck, Jason Lee, Matt Damon, Alan Rickman, Chris Rock, and as well as, you know, Jason Mewes and Kevin Smith.
And Alanis Morissette.
Still love it to this day. But this film sort of quite grandeur in scope, as I mentioned. It's about two fallen angels that find a loophole in Catholic dogma that allows them to get back into heaven. But in order to do so would create the end of the world. So there is a woman who is considered the last scion, the last in the line, in the bloodline of Jesus Christ, has to help stop this from happening with the assistance of Jay and Silent Bob, as well as another angel and the 13th apostle. That's it. About them going from A to B, getting to this church to stop it in time. Now, Alistair, what do you think of this film?
I actually saw this when it came out because I am probably the world's biggest Alanis Morissette fan. So that is the only reason I actually went to see this, because I love her and I wanted to see her in her first movie, inverted commas. So that's kind of what roped me in, and at the time Matt Damon was the hottest man on the planet. So these two things kind of got me into the movie. I didn't know about Jay and Silent Bob when this movie came out, so I didn't really have an opinion about it. But I really like it. I think you can definitely see the budget difference between this and Chasing Amy. Big time. And Alan Rickman, I at the time didn't know who he was, but now I do. And I was like, whoa, okay, this had a really, really good cast. Like Chris Rock, who at the time I didn't know who that was. I think just rewatching it, is just the cast for me is astounding for this movie. Also that the story was so solid, and for me, and I haven't watched the rest of his films yet, but I'm going to say it now, for me, this is probably the strongest story of any film he's done. Even outdoing Clerks for me, is definitely Dogma, but I definitely have a stigma attached to my youth with this film. So that could be playing into this as well.
All right. So about you, Dylan.
Yeah, so like Alistair, this was my first introduction to Kevin Smith. So I remember seeing the trailers for this and being like, this movie has like two angels set in the modern day in the real world, and had this shot of Ben Affleck's character Bartleby like spreading his wings out in front of the church as he slowly lowers down, and there were these awesome practical wings. And I was like, this is the closest thing I've ever seen to an X-Men movie. Like, this looks awesome. What is this? I have no idea. And this is before, like, a year or two before X-Men even came out, and years before they even got close to getting the X-Men like that. So I was like, this is amazing. And then I went and saw it, and they're referencing Star Wars and talking about Han and Chewie in that fucked up bar, and referring to John Hughes movies. And I'm like, wow, like, I'm really enjoying this. And then the part that really sold me was when they're on the train, and Silent Bob grabs Ben Affleck and Matt Damon and throws them off the train, closes the door behind him, lights a cigarette, and kind of turns around, and a guy sitting on the train just looks at him, and he's like, no ticket. And it's the only thing Silent Bob says in the movie, and I'm like, that's Indiana Jones! And it just blew my mind. I'm like, it made me feel rewarded for knowing something so trivial that nobody else did. And so that's when the real fascination began. And when I found out that Jay and Silent Bob were characters in other movies in completely different genres, I was just like, how does that work? Like, why? It's like this shared universe, and that my mind as well. So that's what really got me into Kevin Smith. And that's when I went back and watched his other movies. I really like Dogma. There's a lot of things I don't get, not being Catholic and not being religious. But I bought the VHS of Dogma, and I took it to other people's houses and said, you got to watch this, it's really funny. And they were religious, and they understood things on levels that I had no idea. And Kevin Smith, growing up Catholic, that's a big part of his storytelling and about him as a person. It's just fun. Like Alistair said, the cast is amazing. Selma Hayek's in there as well, and it's just the movie, as it goes, more and more people come into it. Like, even well into the movie, someone turns up. And even from the very start with the platypus joke, where they're talking about, like, God's got a sense of humor, just look at the platypus. And then there's a second disclaimer, like, we don't mean to offend anybody in platypuses. It's just hilarious. And again, you see all his people popping up, like Brian O'Halloran in the videos is Grant Hicks, like Gil Hicks from Mallrats.
Is it being another cousin of Dante?
Yeah, that's right. And Brian Johnson and Walt Flanagan protesting and just seeing everybody kind of pop up around. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Very similar thoughts as you. Like, I, as someone that didn't grow up religious, when I saw it for the first time, I didn't really get a lot of that. I just sort of liked the film itself. The main character I probably didn't have. I found her really quite irritating for most of the film. Bethany is the character's name. Just didn't really enjoy her. But whenever everyone else started coming in and started doing killer performances, like you've got George Carlin as Cardinal Glick, you know, it's like he's the face of Catholicism in this film. It's just fucking spectacular.
Yeah. The Buddy Christ.
Yeah, with Buddy Christ. I have a little Buddy Christ action figure in my room. You know, every time I wake up, he's looking at me, he's like, hey, I'm like, yeah, you. But as I got older and I started to... I took an interest in religion, not as a religious person, but just an interest in religion. So coming back to this after learning a lot more about, you know, Christianity and Catholicism, and it sort of changed how I looked at the film in a really good way. So the first movie I ever saw of Kevin Smith was Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. So I knew of the Jay and Silent Bob characters, but it's really interesting seeing them in this. Alan Rickman, later on I worked out who he was, and coming back, you're like, man, you're like such a high caliber actor. Why are you in this? It's like a monster made out of poop. Overall, it's a very solid film. You get a lot. There's a lot of little things in here that you'll notice as later in the movie series go. Like, you know, if you get first shot of movies, there's a lot of controversy that came with this film as well. Once it sort of got out there that there was this film tackling Catholicism, with attacking / tackling, you know, people got out there and there was death threats. You know, since there was people picketing and. It's not the first time this has happened, but yeah, a massive uproar with this film. I'm really can't think of anything else to say about it, really.
Kevin Smith always says that his directing is like stand up two people against a wall and just do a locked off shot and they talk about things. And in this movie in particular, there's many scenes like with the poop monster where he attacks like the gang, and they just kind of like a comic or a, like a cartoon just follow the action with their heads, and you never see what's happening off screen. And even at the end, in the final scene where they're dropping people from the sky and kind of killing people out the front of the church, it's very locked off as like this is their one block that they've got. And we can show the aftermath, which was awesome with all the trucks and things turned over and all the bodies lying around. But it felt very like you just missed all the action that we could have filmed if we were better at this.
But once again, obviously, you know, they did have a larger budget, but still budget constraints are a massive thing. But yeah, and then at the end, when those church doors open and out comes Alanis Morissette as God. Loved it.
Poor shorts.
That's a great little cameo. But yeah, so overall, what do we think of the two movies that we watched this week? Dylan?
I definitely more liked Dogma than I did Chasing Amy. But as I said, I think Chasing Amy was just a time thing. I think if I saw it when it came out, I would have loved it. And I can appreciate it for what it would have been at that time in history, even though it really wasn't that long ago, but you know what I mean. Mm. But yeah, Dogma definitely for me still one of my, I'm going to say, favourite Kevin Smith films so far, but it might be different at the end of the series.
Yeah, I think Dogma was a good combination of his having something to say, but also having a bit of slapstick in there with Jay and Silent Bob in there. I think it's a weird balance that he does where he has serious movies and jokey movies and then something in between. And this was a good balance. And plus, even though Ben Affleck's in it again, Matt Damon's in it. Was he with Matt Damon before?
Yeah, Matt Damon appears in Chasing Amy, yeah.
Yeah. But they were like, they had become Ben Affleck and Matt Damon by that stage. And they're a lot more comfortable being in front of the camera and being movie stars, and that really benefited the movie, and it makes it feel like a movie, whereas Chasing Amy felt very indie. So I like Dogma, of course, over Chasing Amy, but I appreciate Chasing Amy, and like I said, Dogma was the first one I saw, so Clerks and Mallrats and Chasing Amy felt more of homework. Like, they weren't movies that I'd seek out and watch, whereas Dogma was the first one where I saw the trailer and was like, this looks like something I want to see. Yeah, so
we
got to go with Dogma.
No, for me, I'm going to go different to you guys. I think Chasing Amy, as like, I love movies that are big and grand, etc., but I also love movies that sort of hit me in a particular, obviously, an emotional way, and I'm a sucker for good sort of character pieces, I guess. So Chasing Amy for me all the way. It spoke to me very personally, and I just loved it. Comic culture. Simple as that. As much as I can say about it. But next week is where we sort of tackle the final two films of the Viewersk universe. We look at the end of it with Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back and Clerks 2. So we go from sort of a seriousy sort of rom-commy to a bit more of a grand, grand message film to a flat-out slapstick, bright comedy with Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back and sort of a return to his roots. With Clerks 2. So I hope you all can check us out next week. Now, if you want to hear more from us, you can always listen to myself. I'm on the radio at with a show called The Pop Culturist on 94.7 The Pulse in Geelong. You can also listen on the podcast on all your podcasting services. You can listen to Alistair at DC Domination Podcast, a show all about DC Comics on novastream.com.au. And you can also listen to Dylan on the Marvelous podcast, as well as DC Domination on Nova Stream. So thank you very much for coming up again, guys.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And we'll see you all next week.